At the top of the show today, a Canadian company is proposing drilling as many as 500 new natural gas wells in Michigan using hydraulic fracturing, or fracking. Many see fracking as a means of asserting energy independence in the United States, while others are concerned about environmental impact and water use. And here to talk with us more about hydraulic fracturing and the natural gas industry here in Michigan, James Clift, who is the policy director at the Michigan Environmental Council. Nice to see you, James.
Good morning.
Briefly revisit the fracking process for us. Explain how it works and especially how water is used in that, please.
Sure. You know, we've been fracking for decades in Michigan. And the idea is once you've drilled a well, if you pump some water and chemicals down there under very high pressure, you can kind of fracture the formation, which allows more of the natural gas or oil to come to the surface. So recently, that's been combined with these horizontal drilling techniques where they drill down maybe 5,000 feet or more, turn horizontally, and then they can go up to a mile or two through a formation. Again, then they use this fracking technique because many of these formations are tighter rock than they used to drill into. It used to be they'd drill into liquid oil. Now they're drilling into very hard rock where there's natural gas and hydrocarbons inside there.
Shale formations.
Rock. Mm-hmm. And the Antrim Shale in Michigan is one of the first shale formations that was kind of explored in the country, actually. But that was a very shallow formation. So what we're seeing now is maybe a little deeper formations, a little tighter formations. And they use the fracking to kind of loosen up those hydrocarbons and hopefully bring them to the surface.
And there has been a huge cumulative economic impact to this. Anybody who's watched the energy sector and natural gas has seen this take off in large measure, I'm under the impression, because of hydraulic fracturing. We're able to access natural gas that was just inaccessible before.
That's correct.
Okay. And explain the process of water in this, though, because that is central to our discussion.
Yeah, that's key. So when we were fracking the Antrim wells, small vertical wells, we might use 50 to 80,000 gallons of water per well. Not very much water. So when Michigan started regulating water use back in 2008, we actually gave them an exemption because we were really only looking at people who were using more than 100,000 gallons a day, and oil and gas didn't really show up on the radar screen. But since then, these longer horizontal well techniques have come in, and instead of using 50 to 80,000 gallons, now we're seeing 5 to 21 million gallons of water used on each well. So it's kind of exploded their use of water. So every time they're drilling one of these wells, they're also asking the question, where am I going to get water to do my fracking operation?
And where is the water coming from now?
The same place we get our water. Usually our groundwater aquifers is the best place for them to get the water that they're seeking. So they're going to be looking around to see, is that much water available locally?
Are environments being compromised now because of the water use involved in hydraulic fracturing?
Well, that's what we're trying to watch. Is again, this is a fairly new program in Michigan in regulating our large water users. And we do have an award-winning program up and running where first we use kind of a computer simulation model to figure out, is there enough water in this particular sub-watershed? And they use what's called the water withdrawal assessment tool to try to figure that out. The problem in Michigan...
Who is they? Is that the DEQ, the DNR? Is it
companies? The DEQ kind of runs the program, but they can actually go on this computer system and you can kind of search yourself to see if water is available. The water withdrawal assessment tool, if you Google that, you'll find this state-of-the-art kind of computer simulation in Michigan that really kind of we use as a screening mechanism. And it usually, you know, a lot of places in Michigan, there's a lot of water. So this tells you, yep, go ahead, drill your well, register your well, you report your use to the state of Michigan. Now, unfortunately, where we're finding this oil and gas in Michigan is the same place we have world-class trout streams. So people come from around the world to fish in upper Michigan, the Ossabaw, the Pine, the Manistee. So in these areas, we need to watch it because you too much water out of those rivers, and all of a sudden we're impacting the trout and potentially our tourism base. So we're kind of balancing these two sectors as we're looking for water for fracking in northern Michigan.
We're talking with James Clift of the Michigan Environmental Council about natural gas fracking here in the state. Now, a Canadian company we mentioned earlier, referred to earlier, Encana Corporation, hopes to drill up to 500 new natural gas wells in northern Michigan using billions of gallons of water in that process. They will pay for that water, or who owns or controls that water?
So the water is the public. It's held in the public trust. So to the extent that you own land and you drill your well, you don't pay anybody for the water, and they don't either. So
should that change?
Well, we charge a very small nominal fee to kind of report their water use. So large water users in Michigan are paying around $200 a year or something like that. In other states around the country, especially out west where water is more of a commodity, they'll actually have to purchase water more often and pay a lot more for it. In Michigan, because of its relative abundance, as they say, we don't have a system of charging for the water. We just want to make sure when someone uses it that we're protecting the natural resources and making sure they're not impacting our rivers and streams and the aquatic health of those streams in Michigan.
From what you know about Michigan regulators and agencies, how much faith do you have in their ability to monitor this situation?
Again, this is a new program, so we're kind of using some new science. But I think we're doing, you know, it's better than nothing, which is what we had before 2008. I think we're doing a relatively good job. Now, the key here is looking forward is making sure that, you know, everybody is registering their well and making sure that we're monitoring those flows to make sure that the fish and other aquatic species are safe in these situations. But as I say, up to now, I do have faith in kind of the process that we've set up. And again, as climate change moves in, getting hotter in Michigan summers, you know, more pressure on the water, more pressure for agricultural irrigation. So this is a system that we're learning every year how to do it better, and hopefully, you know, we have our arms around this one.
How deep can these wells go? Do you anticipate the drilling to go even deeper and more horizontal?
You know, I think, you know, at the two-mile stretch, you're probably hitting the outer limits of where, how far a single well will go.
Wow.
Now we have two questions here. Now, you get the water and getting the water for the well, then a lot of it comes back to the surface. That's where we get really interested in making sure that that contaminated water is properly disposed of. And what happens there is we re-inject it down into one of the brine layers, again, thousands of feet below the surface, where it's isolated from our drinking water. So we've got to kind of watch the where they're getting water from on the quantity side. Then once the water comes back to the surface, make sure we dispose it right because of the quality.
Has that gone smoothly so far?
That's one thing that Michigan has done better than other states around the country. When that water comes back up to the surface, we require that they put it in steel tanks until it is re-injected into the ground. Some other states around the country, they were allowing them to put it in ponds. Those were leaking, contaminating groundwater aquifers and contaminating people's drinking water. So this is one of the places where Michigan's program better than some places around the country.
Now, Democrats in the Michigan House have introduced some fracking safety bills I know you're aware of. How would these bills strengthen fracking regulations?
Again, we exempted oil and gas from this water withdrawal assessment process to begin with. Now, we've administratively kind of bypassed that exemption now, and we're requiring that they go through that process.
That's what the bills would do.
That one of the bills would say, let's get rid of the exemption. Let's just put them officially back into the process so that some future administration couldn't decide to take them back out.
Okay.
So let's fix that. Disclosing the chemicals that are used in that fracking process. Make sure the neighbors know exactly what chemicals are getting mixed with the water before it's injected back in. Just to make sure that if something spills or if there's a blowout in a well, they're going to know what to look for as far as contaminants.
But right now, all of the contaminated water goes back underground?
Goes back underground.
Okay, none of it sits on the surface. Okay.
No, and we've had a really good track record in that regard.
An op-ed in yesterday's New York Times by an oil and gas engineer points out how much methane is leaked into the air in natural gas fracking. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure. So when we look at methane and people think natural gas, this must be good from a greenhouse gas standpoint, less carbon than coal, which we rely on to produce a lot of our electricity. So people think as we move toward natural gas, we're going to be doing better on that greenhouse gas climate change front. Scientists are now saying, well, not so fast. Methane, 25 times more potent as carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas. So to the extent that that's leaking out, depending on what that leakage rate is, maybe we're not doing, you know, Mother Nature a favor there as far as carbon goes. And that tells us we need to tighten up the system, make sure that we're capturing the methane at the wellhead, capturing it along the pipelines, and that we're not letting it leak out, because that's the key to kind of getting that carbon equation down, reducing our impact.
And methane is the key component of natural gas.
It is.
Correct. You've got the natural gas industry and state regulators saying they've got a handle on this. The state points to what it says is careful and appropriate land use. You've got the industry claiming no undue harm. How well defended is the industry and state regulators in this debate?
I think we need to kind of treat this fuel with more respect. A lot of times you hear around the country about flaring, where people will have natural gas, and maybe that's in an oil well, and you'll see those flames coming out of the top of a pipe by an oil and gas operation. So that's flaring some of that leaking methane or natural gas off. In this country, we flare 25% of what we use as far as natural gas. So a huge amount of natural gas that we just flare off the top of that pipe.
That's enormous.
That's enormous.
I never would have guessed that.
And to me, that's kind of a lack of respect. If you're going to drill for fossil fuels, you should be ready to capture everything that comes to the surface, make sure it doesn't leak, make sure that we're putting all of it to good use.
One way that's been suggested to lower the potential impact of fracking is the use of gray water. Can you tell us what gray water is?
Yeah, so you're looking for fresh water for kind of using, you know, for the fracking operation. Our question is there other water that might be slightly contaminated, sometimes maybe from an old industrial facility? Sometimes we have these aquifers in Michigan that are contaminated and we can't use them for drinking water anymore. There's actually a large one up in the Kalkaska, Mansalona area. So we're asking the question, can they tap into those, you know, slightly contaminated aquifers instead of using the fresh water to try to minimize the impact on the water we all need and kind of the natural resources needs to be healthy?
Does that have a future as far as you're concerned?
We're looking into it. I guess we're, you know, that's just come up in the last couple of months. So we've informed state officials. They're looking at it. We're, you know, trying to get the message out to the industry. They could do themselves a little PR favor via maybe not using kind of the fresh water right out of the aquifer that we're trying to use for drinking purposes.
And anybody who has listened to NPR over the years has heard occasional reports on earthquakes that have been triggered by hydraulic fracturing. I want to say in Ohio and or Pennsylvania. Where has the dust settled on the earthquake debate?
So where that's come from is when they've re-injected the fluids back into the ground. So Pennsylvania really doesn't have very good formations for re-injecting the flow back water back into the ground. They truck a lot of it right over the edge of Ohio. They were pumping a lot of it down into these wells, probably over-pressurizing them along where there's fault lines. So you think about this fracking fluid, a lot of it is made to be a little slippery to let the hydrocarbons out, and what we had is movement. So we actually triggered some small earthquakes down there. Again, Michigan's geology, we don't have those fault lines, so that has not been a problem in Michigan. We don't expect it to be a problem in Michigan, although, as I say, small ones in this Midwest region have been triggered.
We've been talking about hydraulic fracturing and water use with James Clift. He is the policy director at the Michigan Environmental Council. Thanks, James.
Thank you.
This segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.